Vice Chair Cooper?
Here.
Committee Member Amaral?
Here.
Committee Member?
Here.
All right, has everybody had a chance to review the minutes?
So we need to amend the agenda, because at the last meeting, we met, but we did not have a quorum. Therefore, we did not approve the May 7th minutes. So we need to, this evening, approve both May 7th and July 10th minutes. We'll need to do those separately.
Can I have a, make a motion to approve May
7th.
7 minutes?
Thank you.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion to approve the July 10th minutes? Second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, I think we did that.
Yes, we have already sworn in Jessica Voorhees prior to the meeting, so that is all taken care of.
All right, so up for new business, discussion with code enforcement on defining and identifying water flowing onto adjacent lots.
So if the committee recalls a few months back, a couple meetings ago anyhow, this acting city manager asked the committee if they would be interested in assisting code enforcement to help them with the identification slash determination of what constitutes flooding from one property owner to the other, how that property owner would verify that the water is flowing onto their property, and what the potential remedies might be. So the committee asked to have code enforcement come and give you information about the current code, what they currently do, and how that some of the challenges that they've encountered. And with that, Luis Mendez is with our code enforcement. He's our chief code enforcement officer, and he's here to provide you information.
Good day. Okay, we do have a code in place that, you know, we can enforce regarding, you know, water flowing into the neighbor's property when it's directed that way. The trick is proving. You know, we have to be able to prove under state law that you know, these things are happening. That's the difficulty of it. You know, I mean, when it happens, at the moment, we probably, most times we can't observe it, right? Because it's during some rainstorm or something like that. And then the following day, sometimes the water either has receded, or there's water there, and some of that water, we don't know if it's from that property itself where it's at, or it didn't come from the neighbor, all right? Because sometimes the person who's complaining of all the water on their property sometimes is due to their error also, you know, because of things that they put on their property and leveling it off. And it's easy because it's easy to say because they see some water coming doesn't mean that all that water was from the neighbor. So these are the things that the difficulties of enforcing this. What will make it easier is, since we're not there or we can't observe it, right? For most part, it's easy if they would able to record it. And then, you know, they can contact us and we can go out there as soon as possible to see exactly what's there. Some neighbors wouldn't mind doing this, but most part they don't want, they complaining about their neighbor, but they don't want to be the complainant because they don't want to be the bad guy against their neighbor. So it was another difficulty in trying to enforce it. So these are the problems that we come across, you know. So it's, you know, it'd be a great to see this, to observe it, and if it's happening, we want to help. You know, it's not like that we don't want to help. It's just the problem of proving these things, you know, at the time and the stuff we need, you know, the recording, things like this. You know, so these are the difficulties we.
So I think a lot of this is what the committee has already seen on some of the surveys and some of the residents that we've had at the dais to talk with you. A lot of them believe the water is shedding from the new construction or the neighboring property onto their property. And code enforcement's task is to enforce, of course, the code of ordinances. And the code says that water cannot flow onto an adjacent property. And the dilemma is a videotape proof enough? Is there something else that maybe needs to be considered to show that proof? And then what are the next steps? How long do you give up? So let's say, for example, Louis goes out there and he finds an instance where he's got video documentation of water coming onto a property owner's property. So what is the time frame for the remedy? So do they have 30 days? Do they have 90 days? Yeah, very similar to what we did with culverts. Culverts, we did the green, yellow, red. So if it's green, nothing happens. If it's red, they get a courtesy notice saying, hey, there's some corrosion in your culvert pipe. We'll be back in 365 days to reinspect. However, if it fails in that interim period, you'll be required to replace it immediately. And then the red, of course, is a culvert pipe that has already collapsed, and we give them 90 days to get a contractor. We felt that was reasonable to get a contractor, get a permit, and get the work done. So these are kind of the things that we're hoping the committee will be able to assist with. What does that look like with water coming onto an adjacent lot?
So my concern is, so we have multiple conveyance systems throughout the years. So when we have that combined on the property line, and let's say it's the side that does or does not have the garage, their spout might not meet with the other one. You kind of see the water come in, you see it. It's made to share those couple feet on each property, depending on which way it's going. Are we taking that into consideration? Would that be like, okay, I mean, in all reality, that design was to flow, but eventually, it would come down the property line on both sides. So is there, like, at that point, do you see that and go, okay, that's a common swale. Yeah, their gutter's back there, and yours is up here, so you do see a little bit of water going like this, and then obviously sometimes their water will shoot on the other neighbor further up. Is that just like, hey, that's just the way it is? I don't want to see anybody getting put diverters on if it's working the way it's supposed to work.
So you're talking about the 5-foot drainage easement that exists between each property?
The common swale was originally supposed to be there for that reason. And I mean, I know we have some that are W, some of that common swale, some of that are both W, but I do know that some houses may have both on there. I just don't want to see, A, because I took video of that section, but in reality, their water further up might be dispersing and, do the same thing. And it's just, is there something to provision for that? Or we kind of say, well, that's a common swale. I mean, as long as it's not going all the way across, I'm like, you can see it hitting the other house.
Yeah, I mean, there have been instances where we enforced, especially the gutters, some property owners in the past have placed, their gutters where it's directly at the next door neighbors. They don't want the water on their property. And they have, they extended their gutters, and they go into this 5-foot easement, and we've enforced those. And where they take them off, they redirected them. And stuff like that. When those are noticeable, they're easy to enforce. But if we can't prove, we can only see where the water's going on the easement and going to the front, where it's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to go, that it's there's nothing to enforce. As long as the water's flowing where it's supposed to be going, whether it's to the rear, if there's a canal, sometimes they're directed that way. But if it's flowing to the front with on the easement and into the swale, it's the way it's supposed to go. It might be directed towards the neighbor, but it doesn't get it. It goes into the easement and goes down to the front. And that's what it's meant to do. So, you know, those things we can never enforce because it's the way it's supposed to be. It's the grading, you know, sometimes they you know, especially with the new builds, right? Everyone's saying that their house is up, the other property's high. And that's why the water's flowing and flooding my house. You know, when we see flooding, we can tell where the, you know, most likely where the water's coming from. But again, you know, it all depends on what surveys say and stuff like that. But there have been times that someone does claim that, and it happens to be their property is the problem. You know, they have done excavations, they have done stuff, and they lowered their level. And of course, you know, when both of them were at 3 inches above, and all of a sudden you did excavation to do special planting and this and that, and you lowered yours, obviously the water's going to go to you. It wasn't the fault of the person who didn't do any changes. It's you did the changes. You know, so that's something that we will probably request a survey to see where we're at, to see what happened, you know, to be able to enforce it, if there's anything.
For the survey, that they're not cheap.
No, I know. Well, if it would have to be the property owner, you couldn't. I don't think cities doesn't provide that type of service. Yeah.
So the complaining property owner or the?
Well, the last case that we brought up, we advised both properties are claiming different things. So we advise both properties for us to move forward to get a survey so we can evaluate exactly what happened. You know, if you don't want to bring these surveys forward, it's hard for us to do any type of action. You know, so, you know, either you can correct your conditions or you can bring the survey so we can then reevaluate what we have. You know, since they both changed their, so they both changed. So, you know, this is why we need a survey from both. You know, because we can't ask from one and not ask from the other one when they both changed their survey. Yeah.
So I'm just like in theory trying to think this through. If I'm a homeowner, I got a house. Like the easiest situation would be a new build. Like, and now I got problems. Okay, let's identify and deal with it before your old neighbors or whatever. But let's say whatever the reason, all of a sudden my neighbor. And I, you know, I call, I want some relief. I'd ask him to fix it. He won't fix it. I call you guys. And you go out there. Is there any action you'd be able to, if you could visibly see, oh, yeah, it looks like he had a sprinkler blowout, and now his drainage has been affected. Now it's just kind of coming through into this neighbor's yard. Is there any action you can take on just visual observations, or are we going to need a survey, you think, on each incident?
Oh, no, I mean, if we can observe a problem, we can address it.
Okay.
Yeah, we can actually, yeah, we definitely can address it if we can observe it. Yes, absolutely. And those things has happened where, you know, somebody's sprinkler system is just way out of whack and then it's broken and it's just everything's going towards the person's property. Yeah, we would tell them you have to repair that, you know, and we would, you know, probably give them a verbal, then we'll move to a notice and, you know, if they won't, then they'll find themselves in this room in a court hearing. You know, but yeah, we have addressed those. It's visual. Something we can observe, we will address.
Something that I would like to add is part of the 80-something percent of all the cases that we've been checking the last month, when there is a new construction nearby, like you said, they have the flooding, not the new construction, you know, all the other neighbors. Several of them, and it's a natural cause because they lose the loss of the natural drainage because they are not the natural the plants, the free land, they suck the water naturally. But when we do roads, new construction, we stop that. It's called, what do you call it, impervious? Yes, surfaces. So that problem is going to be common. What we can do to give a solution for that as a new construction and as an old construction?
Well, I think with new construction, the issue of drainage is addressed in the standards for constructing a new home on an infill lot. They're required to grade that property such that the water flows to the nearest city stormwater conveyance system. So the problem is not with the new properties. The problem is with the existing properties that were built prior to, say, 2006. Or they're properties where the new construction has had the W swale or whatever you want to call it, the berm, mm-hmm. to keep the water off the neighboring property, and the berm has not been maintained. And if the berm fails, then that could cause water to flow onto the neighboring property. Majority of what we've seen as a committee are those homes, those lots where they're retaining now their own water. And those lots are not graded to go to the stormwater conveyance system, and therefore the water can't get there. And that's a lot of what the committee has seen.
Sometimes a combination of both.
That is true.
And we have seen quite a few yards that look like swimming pools, to be very honest with you. And it could be because the owner didn't maintain the new property, or there was something changed in the current property owner, whether they changed landscaping. I've seen some where they've added new beds and they've added the pretty concrete borders around, and then they wonder why the water can't get out of there. So we've seen a lot of that. The biggest challenge, I think, for code enforcement is now they've been tasked with enforcing this water's coming onto my lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying very hard to develop that criteria of what does that look like and how do we address it. And one of the things that they have recently come up with was requiring the video documentation and then possibly requiring a survey of the property owner. But I think Tony brings up a very good point about the 5-foot drainage easement. So maybe that's something that the committee wants to recommend, is to add some type of a verbiage that the water has to go outside the 5-foot drainage easement that exists on both properties. I don't know. That would be up to the committee to.
My concern is the berm, the W, however you want to call it, that one should be definitive and it's made so we're not transferring. But I just don't want to see anybody getting penalized or having to do something when it's always been, or I should say it was, a shared conveyance, because that was allowed and you're supposed to meet, like the new construction has to meet whatever's on the left side, it has to meet whatever's on the right side. And if you don't have either or, then you're automatically assuming the W. I just don't want to say, oh yeah, my neighbor, see, look, now granted, if they have a spout that's going all the way to the property line and that water's shooting past those 5 feet and being real close, I would say, hey, I don't care if you're not sharing at that point, you're literally just pushing water. Just turn it sideways and that'll probably solve everybody's problem. I just don't want to see where, unfortunately, you know, two neighbors just don't get along and like, oh, look, I got you now because I can show your water flowing. Here's my line and look, you can see the water, but it's, you know, a foot or two and it's turning downstream to get to the back if it's allowed or to the front, and that's why. The berms, I'll be honest with you, from day one, I was never a big fan of them because we got to the point where it was a cut berm 1 foot off of the property line, and it was like a step. And I said, well, you're just going to make everybody weed whack 125 feet of their yard because you can't cut it. And so you get a lawn maintenance guy, they're not going to weed whack 125 feet. They're going to just ride that wheel on that berm all the way back and all the way front until that berm flattens out. That one I think we do have to maintain, even though I'm not a big fan of it, but that's the truth, we have to keep it. So I do think we have to, you know, if it's a common swale, there is that 5 foot leeway. I mean, there's no house, the house should be, I think even the tightest setback is 6.5 feet on certain properties from the property line. Most of them are 7.5, but I think there are a few that are 6.5 on some of those R2s or 3s, they worked out. But that should be something where we say, that's just the way it works. Unless, again, we see that extension pretty much to the property line straight in, as you've seen it, just it pushes, you're not stopping all that water for a few feet. And but that should be a quick fix. I just don't want to, we should leave a little bit of leeway that says, hey, in this situation, this is not really interfering with your neighbor's drainage, but this one is a guarantee. Like this, the W's and the berms, unfortunately, we're stuck with them, and I think that one gets enforced where you say, your berm has been flattened, but then the question comes out, who flattened it?
Well, my question becomes, too, how do you know it's flat? I mean, you know, if it's a 1 foot berm and it's got, you know, 2 foot before it goes, does that constitute an issue of water from the top of the berm coming down the side slope of the berm onto the neighboring property? Is that an issue? And I think that's some of the questions out there. So it may be the answer to that is no, because it's within the 5 foot drainage easement, but you know, again, I'm not the expert. I'm just giving you some information. The other thing that I have personally seen out there is some of those berms can be 2 foot, 3 foot. I've seen some pretty steep ones. There's actually been a couple of homes. We made them put in a wall because they were so steep.
I mean, it's enforcement becomes difficult, you know, sometimes. So you've had neighbors who walked into other people's onto other people's property and did things to their berm, you know, and then, you know, I try to explain to certain people and then they feel like they complain and then we address what's wrong also on their property, because I keep reminding everybody there's a 5 foot easement at that property line, you know, but because they put their fence on that property line, they think, well, no water's supposed to be underneath it. I'm like, that's impossible. Okay, because you're really, you know, you're at the property line when you're supposed to be a 5 foot easement. That's where water's supposed to flow. Okay, so it to them, oh, it's on my property. No, it's not. Okay, it's on that 5 foot easement. Okay, and then sometimes everyone wants to put a tree or some type of landscaping right at the property line, where then now the water from the back stops because now there's an obstacle there, and now it goes onto their property and floods their back. And I explained to them, look, I'll address once I can see everything, but you have to move the tree. Oh, I'm not moving. Then it's hard to enforce something, because that right there can be causing a problem. It might not cause all the problem, but it's probably causing some percentage of the problem. So it's hard to figure out exactly what we have, you know. So then they're like, well, you know, now you're attacking me. We're not attacking. We're trying to address something that's bothering. And, you know, so we bump into these obstacles. So.
Any words of wisdom?
That's why I'm not a code enforcement officer.
It's a tricky situation. I guess if there's ultimately it goes to a board, a code enforcement board, if there's a case to be made, right?
Yeah, if there's a case to be made, then it gets brought here. Okay, and our last one we were in, the board themselves said, look, you know, they agreed that, you know, there should be a survey on both properties, because it seems like both properties had issues, mm-hmm. You know, but either one wanted to address those issues. You know, they're just like, well, you guys should be doing something. But we can't do nothing, meaning that there's issues on both properties. You know, so we haven't heard back from them again. But, you know, these are obstacles people don't understand when they try to address these things.
So they got the surveys.
Then they haven't got anything.
Oh, so they just said, if that's the case, we don't want to.
I haven't heard from them. I haven't heard from them since.
I mean, unfortunately, the surveys are getting more. All the new rules and the drainage plan beforehand and the certification of the drainage plan now afterwards, my surveys have gone up like $1,000.
Yeah, and I think one of the property owners didn't want to move that landscape. They wanted it, I guess, so I think they just said, never mind. Yeah.
If I don't get a survey saying it's wrong, you can't tell me it's wrong.
But it would be great if both of the houses that they have a problem have the same company for the survey.
Well, yes, and so it's actually, they will charge you less if they did your original final survey, because they have the record to see what it looked like. They don't have to redo every single point. So if you use company A and they use company B, it's cheaper for both of you to, you call A and they call B, because they have most of it, they will charge you less because they already have the history. They just got to go to their file and look at it.
Makes sense.
I mean, I do like the idea of that 5-foot utility easement is a utility, is an easement in general, mm-hmm. to have, you know, there's a little bit of wiggle room.
There might be some water there occasionally.
Yeah. But I mean, I do know for a fact there's a new subdevelopment, though, or newer subdevelopment. The house is sitting the way they worded it. It sits on the 5 feet off the property line.
And I've also seen some of the homes where they've gotten within that 7.5, so they have their exact 7.5 feet to the property line, but then they have the 3-foot housekeeping pad for the air conditioner. That creates.
We are allowed. I think the rule now is what, 5 inches you can approach something for an AC pad, 6 inches. I believe it's something like that.
I don't know. I'm out of that.
I'm not, and I still can't remember. It changes often. I do like kind of that 5-foot utility versatility. I mean, that's really a 10-foot span from the property line on both sides. There should be no houses inside of that area. And I got to tell you, I mean, fences, everybody wants to put their fence on the property line.
They also want to put all their bushes up against the fence.
To make the fence.
Or they want to put rocks and borders and sidewalks and other things up against that fence.
Yeah, I mean, it would be an easier task if you know, everyone did respect that 5-foot easement, and like I said, the fences would be 5 foot back. The water probably will flow about as simple as that. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Because those 10 feet between the two fences is going to maintain that.
You know, so, mm-hmm. But
even if they had the fences, I know there are some communities where they require fences to be 4 inches off the ground to allow water flow. But that would require a change in ordinance.
Then my little chihuahua can go outside and just walk underneath the fence. They don't have a chihuahua.
I've seen a lot of homes where they put the fence across the back, the sides, and then when they come up to the house, they block underneath it to keep the little dog from going out underneath the fence, the gate, because they have that slope. And they cut off their drainage, and then they wonder why their yards are not flowing.
Where are we with requiring certain, you may be like, on any flat? I know for a while, if you did just flat work, a slab, a patio, whatever, you did not need a survey. Have we changed that? So any work that requires a permit, we're getting another final survey?
The last I heard was they would have to have a survey if it was over 400 feet. Don't hold me on that. You'd need to double check with the building department on that one. I'm not 100% sure, but I know Stormwater used to do the inspections for drainage if the flat work was 400 square feet or more.
I know some of that is affecting, because if they build it out, starts messing with the whole flow and everything else. So that is a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be.
It's a tough situation. I know I can think of one particular house. They purchased property, and the house next door had a pool put in. They put in the W swale. The W swale has disappeared. They put a trench in the back, and now all that water just falls onto that property, or appears to fall onto that property. There's no video documentation or anything, but there's some challenges there.
Yeah.
So I think what the city manager was asking is if the committee had any recommendations to assist code, are they on the right track with requiring the video documentation, possibly requiring the survey, depending. And then the question always comes about as, okay, so who is the authority that says, yes, water's coming onto that property? You know?
Who's the expert that can qualify that?
That's true. But survey can help a lot on that too.
Yes, the survey would help a lot, but the city's going to be then put in a position to read the surveys, and if they're not a licensed surveyor, then somebody's going to say, well, he has no responsibility, even though it's just numbers, and we've all become very good at reading surveys. Mm-hmm. You know, but I can't give you a survey and say it's correct, but we know how to read them. Mm-hmm.
So would it be, what would the thought be then to have the survey company do the interpretation like they do the new drainage plans?
Possible, but if you're working with two properties, possibly two different surveyors, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be interpreting somebody else's survey as well. It's one that they did.
That's tricky. That's what I was saying. It has to be the same.
Mm-hmm. I've alluded even more. I mean, in simplest terms, yeah, that would be great. That's a qualified person to interpret, but I can see where it could be a problem.
I feel for enforcement. I mean, yeah, you know. These guys are the ones out there talking to these residents and trying to protect them
and
give them the ammunition they need to enforce a code.
Yeah, I mean, if the only way to prove something is probably that survey, you know, a video is good too, you know, if it's timestamp, you know, so we can, you know, put it to a storm and things like that, you know, that would help a lot in bringing some type of enforcement if need to be, you know, but otherwise than that, then what can I do besides going on hearsay, which is against the law for me anyway. You know, I cannot bring anything forward until somebody else's. So, you know, these things are the obstacles, you know.
Are other municipalities dealing with the same issue? I would imagine, like, I'm just wondering if there's other examples from code enforcement.
Like San Agustin?
Yeah.
Something close.
From a code enforcement perspective, at least, like how
Floridian, close to the water.
I mean, I can try to work on that also. I mean, I don't mind doing that. I mean, I do meet up with other municipalities, you know, like twice a year, and you know, this is not a subject that's talked about much.
Yeah.
So you know, but it'd be something I can bring up.
That maybe other communities have. I mean, our community is certainly unique in how it was built over time, the info blocks and all that, but other, I mean, it's got to be happening.
You can have a 3-year-old house right next to a 50-year-old house.
Right.
So I can tell you that recently staff and I visited Port St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. They also were built by ITT, very similar to Palm Coast.
That's Canal too?
I'm sorry?
Does he have Canal? Canal.
Yes, they have swales, ditches, and canals, just like we do. They have a unique swale system, so that's something completely different. But they too were experiencing the problem of building next to existing homes. And so that might be a place to start and how they resolve some of those issues. I can tell you that when we visited, one of the things that they now require is all builders to install a drain pipe along the property lines.
Tie in the future gutters?
Just prevent drainage issues.
Like a drain in the back and then a...
Like a French drain.
Almost like a yard drain. Like a yard drain, not necessarily a French drain.
Kind of in a low spot and automatically.
They usually have a couple that go along the property line and take it to the front swale.
Right, that could be tied into whatever else is there.
That's French drains.
Like the...
I like that. Well, the French drain would work better closer to the house, that's why. That's where you're most, you know, if you don't have a gutter, you're gonna get that pooling coming right off the roof there, not by the time you get to the property line. But that would require also a common swale, so the water would pool there, as opposed to this one's 5 feet off the property line, this one's 1 foot off the property line, this one's on the property line, because you want it in the low spot.
So the only problem you would have that I foresee, that I have seen in Pomco's, with those type of systems, is when the swale's full. Mm-hmm. And it backing backwards.
Well, you have to leave it, well, yeah, I mean, occasionally we still get those berm, you know, if you leave it at the top of the break to the swale, we still run the risk of during these heavy events where that's gonna go all the way up. If nothing else, slow the water down to the point where it starts cooling. I mean, I gotta tell you, me personally, I do like the idea that it's a smartphone nowadays. You don't need to have bring out the old camcorder and all that stuff. I can just pull out my phone and even I can do it, so I mean it's easy. And just get a quick video. I do like that principle of starting as opposed to, hey.
But maybe a little bit of guidelines for the video, like showing the whole lot maybe, showing the part, affected the part. You know, something like that, like a guidelines.
Yeah, kind of like picture and then
yeah.
Zoom out almost to kind of see the full picture, not just like if I just focus on one area.
And that's what we saw in a lot of the photos that are provided to us is they zoom in so far, you really can't tell.
Where in the yard.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I do like that premise of a starting point. Hey, get us video, get us a broad scope of it so we can see it happening. And he said, it's common sense that they put those gutter extensions that's facing straight to the property line, you're 4 feet off the property line, why don't you just turn this, And that's usually, most people I think would say, okay, But I do also do like the concept of that 10 feet, 5 feet on each property is, that's what it's there for, so it can help convey water.
So then you're thinking that maybe they should include some verbiage in the notices to the property owners when they do their inspection about the criticality of maintaining the 5 foot drainage easement?
It's the criticality of recognizing what system you have, and you might have one on each side different. And I mean, we've learned that when people have come here, most of them have said, I didn't know that, or thanks, I wasn't aware of that. So I think if we could, it's like, hey, if your yard looks like this, it should stay that way. If your yard looks like this, the W, that berm has to stay there, and you putting a plant or a tree or blocking it with your fence, especially that low side, is going to affect your drainage. I just don't know how you get that out, or it's something like, you guys go out there, you have this little pamphlet, and you can say, hey, I see your fence is literally dipping down to block off that W. Here's a pamphlet, this is your swale system you have, your drainage conveyance system this could be a problem. Maybe just lift that fence up a little bit. But most of these calls are coming from accusations of the neighbor causing the problem. So I just don't know how they would accept it. Well, that's my property. I never had a problem until then.
But I think a lot of it is just education. I mean, in most cases, we've seen people have a problem. But a little bit of education goes along. You do have a problem. We're sorry you have a problem. But here's some remedies to fix it. And it doesn't usually involve something to do with the neighbor's property. There's been occasions where it has, but it's, I think, like somehow we've got to get better. Just educating people on what
that's a great idea
would probably solve a lot of it.
It would be more graphic and explaining, educating them.
I would be surprised if more than 60% of people knew that there was a 5-foot utility on their property.
Yeah, and that may be, not to jump ahead, but I know we're going to talk about future programs that maybe we could get the media team to meet with us at some point and work on some ideas for a piece that the city could put out so that when you get these code enforcement complaints or whatever, it's like, yes, come look at it. They were giving you this information of things you can remedy on your own property. What the state, what the rules are, as far as that you have to keep your own water on your own property, or however that looks.
Do you want to go so far as to say any downspouts need to be facing, you know, the end flow of where, you know, if you have one extension, it has to go to where the complaint.
I mean, it would help. I mean, the more you can explain to people, the more they would know. I mean, you're right about the 5-foot easement. Not so many people are aware that. That is a big one. I've had people that I have to advise them to move their shed because it's up against the fence, you know, and they're like, oh, but I've had it there for 10 years. And, you know, well, and now the water's bothering, you know, but, well, still blocking water. You know, you got to understand that. So, you know, it's, you know, they don't know this 5-foot easement for most part blocked. You know? So that is one good place to start, you know.
Is it required to get a permit? I don't think it is to install gutters. I don't think it is.
If it's on the permit?
Is they require a permit to install gutters?
Oh, no.
I mean, it's like a good plug. That could be part of the packet of make sure your spouts are not straight to your neighbor. Do not put extensions straight to your neighbor's, you know, it's all the way to the property line.
Yeah, and I think for most part, most companies that do install them are aware and they don't. I think it's when an owner requests something or they do the addition themselves to the gutter. For most part, I see most companies are always, you know, the gutter comes out 2 feet from the house and it's usually directed towards one of the systems. You know, but then folks will request something and, you know, if a business is a business, they're okay, that's what you want, I'll give you what you want. Or some homeowners just go to the local stores and buy extensions and do it themselves. So
they decide to put a few plants there.
So so you know that happens.
I mean, like I said, the video, the you know, especially in the comments, well, it has to be educating and informing people. That's there for a reason. You know, their water kind of will zigzag across yours. Your water is zigzagging across their property line, and that's normal. The W's are the one you're going to have to say, well, it was built to stop the water, so there can be no zigzagging, per se, I guess, inside of staff, code enforcement, maybe us, say, even on a W, the berm, we still have a little bit of wiggle room, you know, just because of, because you're never going to prove who took down the berm, essentially. Because both guys are going to be mowing with their wheels on the property line back and forth, and that's why. So, the video, I do like the idea of the video. I mean, that's the first form in visual is better than putting your thumb up and, you know, I think it's got a little bit of more slope than yours. But even a little bit more slope doesn't mean that you're really impacting.
You gotta put the eye in the water while it's raining.
The pressure
direction. Hold the compass.
Go get 8 gallons of phenol red and just dump it in and see where it goes.
Dump it in your neighbor's yard ahead of time.
I gotta tell you, the important part is a lot harder than I thought. Was, you know, and you do have to factor in, how do you know? Surveys are expensive to figure it out. I think video is definitely the first bet. Yeah, I do like that concept.
Start.
Yeah, the start. And if it can't be determined by that point, or like you show up and you saw that extension covering 5 of those 7 feet that's, you know, setback, that's a visual, like, hey, that makes sense, you know. But yeah, you do need something to, I'm telling you, when it does rain,
I don't think we're going to get resolution to, yeah, to your issues tonight. But I just, like, what do you guys think as far as the next step? I love the idea of public education, like, coming up with something that we can, you guys can use to, while you're going out to look at these, to educate people on what they can do, what the ordinances are, things that they can do, what the possible problems could be on their yard. You know, having a tree on your, you know, tree on the fence line or the property line, you know, just kind of explain some of that, which I don't think a lot of people probably know. They moved here from all over different places. You know, we've got our own unique issues. So I just think part of that is the education piece. And if we can talk to the media team at one of our meetings, we could probably work, you know, give them some ideas that they could put a piece to help.
Yeah, I mean, Pope has certain issues, you know, with, like, water restrictions, trash things, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, these are things that we use to educate people, you know. So if something like that is done, it's not like it's impossible for us to hear. It's something routine for us that when something comes up, you know, we can educate both parties and they can see exactly where they got to go from or anything
right.
else happens, you know, and then take preventive measures, things like that.
Just for an idea, in the last 6 months, more or less, how many, I guess, code enforcement calls have been about my neighbor is flooding my yard? Just I'm trying it out. Is it prevalent? Is it once every month? I'm definitely always happy after every rainstorm we get 30 phone calls.
Yeah, I mean, they come. I think the department would probably get most of them probably at this point. The stormwater department probably gets.
Yeah, we're not taking those anymore.
But we do get them. We do get them. They haven't been as frequent as much lately, but at one time we were getting them quite a bit.
Just into the rainy season.
Yeah, so, you know, now, you know, we'll see when we get a good storm, we'll probably get quite a few calls. But, you know, I try to explain to people also that, you know, water's got to go somewhere, right? And so when you get these big storms, you know, if the water's out there and if it's out there for less than, you know, 2-3 days, then it did what it was supposed to do. The swell system, it's the water's just not going to disappear like this, you know. So I try to explain that to people, you know. I say, you know, if you come out tomorrow and the water's gone, then you're good, you know. You know, the water went where it was supposed to go, you know. You know, you go out there in a few days and, you know, you're trying to catch frogs and tadpoles and, you know, you're still walking in, you know, knee-high water, then we have a problem, you know. But, you know, you got to give it time for it to work also.
So the new procedure now is when a customer calls and says there's water coming onto my yard, we do refer them over to open a code case. Most of them are reluctant to do so because they don't want to give their name as the complaining person and causing a problem with their neighbor. So we generally will not take a complaint about a swale unless there's been within 5 days of a significant rain event. So if you've had 2-3 inches of rain, which is what the Weather Service calls a significant event. So if you've had 3 inches of rain, then we won't take a call for 5 days after that about a swale issue, because the swale is doing what the swale is supposed to do, unless it's impeding traffic in the roadway. So we've kind of changed our direction on that. When it comes to, you know, neighbor flowing water onto my lot, if it has to do with new construction, it is sent over to the building department with the residential site inspectors, and they go out and they inspect, and then they take care of the builder from that point forward. 9 times out of 10, those are the calls that we were getting contributing it to new construction. So they were handling, or they are handling, majority of those calls now. If we do receive calls where a person is complaining that water is coming onto my property, and it's not a house that's under construction or newly constructed, then we tell them they need to open a code violation. And 90% of the time, the residents are uncomfortable doing that because they don't want to give their name. They'd rather have it done anonymously.
Yeah, but when code enforcement shows up, it's only at the left side of the house. Pretty sure I know who called.
Yeah,
I'm
mean,
not concerned about it. Fine, we're just it's this side.
And we do currently have a few open cases that we're addressing. Okay, so you know some things that we have been able to observe, or stormwater and engineering have been able to observe, we are addressing those.
Okay. How many?
Right now, probably, I don't know, maybe somewhere 10, 12 cases that we have.
None of them are our cases that we've
been
found. No. No, these and
an existing home.
Right, and
not like in the house just finished 2 months ago.
And for most part, the violation property, they are taking care of their problems, you know, and they are addressing it, you know, and taking care of it. What's made it to code hearings is maybe two cases, maybe this year. So, you know, people are responding when we do observe a violation. The people, you know, that we violate, they address the problem. You know, they get it done. You know, so we haven't had difficulty in that. Like I said, maybe two cases this year that we have had to bring it here in front of a board. Otherwise than that, they've been addressing those that we've been able to observe a bit. So, you know.
The code basically needs something to quantify at what point, besides just trying to talk to them, do we have to come before the board and present according to ..
Yeah, yeah. It's the ones that we can't observe, the ones that we can't prove, or the ones that don't want to put their name to a complaint because obviously state law says you have.
Right.
We just can't go on anonymous, right? So, you know, then it's we can't do nothing with these cases. I mean, we, you know, you hear about them, right? But you can't address them because we can't prove something. You know, and again, you know, we can never just go on hearsay, and especially hearsay on an anonymous complaint, we can never, you know, so these are obstacles. You know, so, you know, that's another thing. But like I said, the ones that we've been able to observe, ones that we've been able to pinpoint and prove, those have been addressed. And for most part, like I said, the property owner of the violation does handle the problem. They, you know, we haven't had a real difficult one or anything like that. Like I said, and those will come here. You know, we'll end up in a court hearing if this becomes a problem. And, you know, and there hasn't been really much that we have had to bring. You know, they've been addressed.
Has most of it been, can you not extend all the way to this or turn it forward? Has that been, was a simple fix basically?
Some of them have been simple fixes, and some of them, I've had one property owner who regraded his property to avoid flooding his other neighbor. You know, he was like, he took it, he was like, wow, I didn't know it was bad. And he did it, you know, and we okay. He went and got his permit. And did them. And like I said, some of them have been simple like that. Some of them have been obstacles that have been in that 5 foot, and they've been told, look, you know, you're flooding your neighbor, you know, you blocked all the water, and now it's facing the door. And they've addressed it themselves, you know, they moved stuff. So, you know, some of those things have worked, you know, but it's the ones that we can't prove, you know, and we need more evidence to be able to assist somebody. And then, you know, the hesitation to want to give us that evidence or anything like that, then it's rather difficult.
Taking case by case, then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's become a case first, officially, than just say, I don't want to say anything, but I want you to know this is wrong.
You guys certainly aren't driving around during rainstorms looking for water flowing from one property.
Anything else for Lewis?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, I think what you're doing is great, man. It's a promising start. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe if we can find out what some other communities are doing as far as how they handle the code enforcement aspect of that, it might be a start.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
I keep forgetting to turn those on.
Now, next up, we're just talking about recommendations for future speakers, and I brought
It is possible. Has the committee reviewed any of the videos that Stormwater has already put out? There's quite a few videos that are already out there regarding the Stormwater system. It's available on the city website.
I have seen a couple of those. And I like the videos. Those are great. But I just think we do need a pamphlet that can be handed out.
The Stormwater...
Stormwater
does have a pamphlet that we hand out. So what I'll do at your next meeting is I'll bring some copies for you to review. I don't know that it addresses the 5-foot easement issue that you've talked about this evening. So maybe if you want to review that, I can send it to you electronically so that when we meet next time, you'll have already reviewed it and we can maybe have a conversation and some recommendations to update that.
This was great.
Any other information we need from Lynn? Okay. We're good here. Anything needs to be added? Any new business?
Did we finish all the people? Well, okay. I remember it was two families that they didn't come the last meeting.
They did not come. But we did discuss their surveys.
Oh, okay.
We provided them their surveys and we closed their case.
Okay.
So we have closed the cases after the committee has reviewed the surveys. We have closed the case and provided them electronic copies of the surveys if they did not show up. If they did show up, then we made notes on the case and we closed the case, and the residents are notified when the cases are closed. I will tell you that we have about 70 cases that are still open.
But they are minor.
Those are yards, correct?
They are yards. They are yard flooding. So I've been working with the building department in code enforcement to come up with some verbiage for a letter to send to those residents to let them know that it's not a city stormwater system issue. There's some other language there. I just got the final copy of the letter today. If you want, I can bring that to the committee for input. And those letters would then close those last 70 cases.
Now, I know we kind of did this before. In those cases, are we establishing like water's there for like more than 3 days? Are we establishing certain guidelines, or we just know it holds water? Is there a criteria that basically is what I'm trying to get to?
So the ones that the cases that we have, 9 times out of 10, there's no new construction anywhere around them. We don't know why they're holding water other than there's something on their own property. I don't recall the letter off the top of my head. I've had a few things going on, but I'll send that electronic copy to the committee to take a look at.
Yep.
Off the top of your head, does that letter address, like, it's really a problem if it's more than 3 days, or is it more of a general?
I think it's more of a general, but I think what it does do is it provides them some things to look at on their own property.
All right. We have no public comment here, no public. And then date, time, the next meeting.
We are still wanting to meet every 4 weeks, or we bring us to September 3rd or September 4th at 6
p.m. For me, if we could move it so it's not on a Wednesday, like I have missed all my nights of Columbus meetings because they fall on a Wednesday we meet.
We can do a lot.
If we could do the 4th, that'd be great.
On Thursdays, I have my Rotary meeting.
Oh,
but,
yeah, that's fine.
But I can do Thursday. If we switch up here and there, I can do Thursday meeting. That's not a problem at all. And we meet weekly, so it's not.
Okay. I mean, again, I looked, and the first thing I see is my Columbus meeting. So I'm like, it's always that.
I believe that's the week of Labor Day, isn't it?
It is the week right, yeah.
This one?
Thursday right after Labor Day. our flip board, excuse me, would work with his Labor Day weekend, the weekend before.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Labor Day is September 1st.
Yeah. It would matter to me.
So that's a Thursday?
Correct.
It does work for you?
Sure.
I have to go one of those meetings.
No, I understand. Okay. You gotta make appearance.
They're like, are you alive? Yeah. I'm like, I am. You see me. I'm right here. So.
All right, so now, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that. All right.